Did that car follow us off the strip road?
No, it kept going. It's fine.
He was behind us since we left Hampshire.
Well, he didn't follow us into the car park, he didn't follow us into the reception, and he didn't follow us into this horrible little room. It's okay, Max.
You're sure?
Yes, just come away from the window. You're making me tense.
I'm sorry, Freya. I'd just prefer to be meeting this friend of yours somewhere public, where there's plenty of witnesses rather than some out-of-town motel.
This is the best way to be sure we weren't followed. And so can he, remember? He's taking a risk too.
I'm still not sure. I mean, a journalist.
Who else can we talk to? We can hardly call the police, can we? I mean, what exactly are we alleging? Would they take us seriously?
No reason to assume a journalist will either.
Edwin will. We've known each other a long time.
Oh, I'm sure.
Look, he's our best hope, so put a lid on your jealousy, will you? And don't look at me like that.
I'm sorry, I'm just...
It's all right. We're both tired. Come away from the window.
I want to make sure nobody goes near the car while we're here.
You're being paranoid.
Am I? You've never heard of a booby trap?
Christ. Are you planning to stay there all day and all night, just keeping watch on the car?
You want to take the risk?
Right. Look, nobody knew what we were planning. Nobody saw us leave the apartment, nobody followed us here, and nobody knows where we're going. We won't be missed at work until Monday, so we've got 2 days head start. You should calm down. We've got a lot of travelling to do, and if you haven't slept...
What car did you say your friend had?
A blue Volkswagen.
Well, it's just pulled into the car park, is that it?
Yes, that's Edwin's car.
Well, at least he's punctual. You got any cigarettes?
You've run out already. You hardly ever smoke.
Under normal circumstances.
Rhea, you're looking beautiful as ever.
Come in, Edwin. My husband, Max. Max Edwin Gunderson. From Halmstad Expressen.
Ah. Heard a lot about you. Good to meet you at last.
How was your drive?
I'm nervous. I could do with a drink.
We brought a flask of coffee. Will that do? I'm afraid we didn't have time to pick up any provisions.
Well, that's fine. Well, I must say, this is all rather thrilling. A call from a former girlfriend telling me to meet at Sundergrad Motel, Junction 6, 5 p.m. Make sure you aren't followed. All very dramatic. I'm almost disappointed to see you brought your husband with you. I'm joking, of course.
But you did make sure you weren't followed, didn't you?
Yes. I went twice around the Halmstad Ring Road, once through the town. I wasn't followed, I assure you. Now, perhaps you'd like to tell me why all the precautions... I mean, not that it isn't wonderful to see you again.
We both work for the Keller Institute. Max is a microbiologist, and I work in data processing and statistical programming.
Private sector? Where's the student radical I fell in love with all those years ago?
We were both headhunted. And the money was, well, difficult to say no to. We just got married and...
Well, good for you, good for you. About time you were paid what you're worth.
That's what I thought.
So what can I do for you then?
Well, it's linked, actually. For a while, working at the Keller Institute was like a dream come true. The projects were well-financed and efficiently managed. The budget seemed to be virtually limitless. And it looked like we were actually going to make a difference, to push science forward. It was everything I'd ever wanted, professionally speaking. Then, after about 18 months, changes began.
Changes?
I was initially employed to help develop a protein compound through which synaptic currents could travel. I was told it was part of a research project to help those with degenerative brain disease. There were also plans to use it as part of penal reform for particularly aggressive or dangerous prisoners. Often behaviours of this kind begin with some kind of brain trauma. Well, anyway, when I arrived, I quickly saw that the advances the Institute had already made were breathtaking. I was only too proud to be a part of it.
But then...
Well, I came in one morning and was informed that there would need to be fundamental changes to the culture I was working on. The new process demanded the creation of weak hydrogen bonds between base pairs and a significant increase in the synthesis of RNA strands.
Sorry. Could you say all of that again?
Sorry, the technical aspects aren't important. The template was simply handed to me, and all I had to do was process the culture. The changes were so sudden, it was as if all my work had been irrelevant. I would have been insulted, but the matrix of the new culture was astonishing. It was effectively a protein into which almost anything could live and develop. The sort of thing that fertility researchers have been looking for years. But why? Why would they suddenly want a culture into which any living creature could exist? They were supposed to be working on a system of synaptic therapy, not an incubator.
An incubator?
That's the only practical use I could think of for the new culture.
The same thing happened to me. The numbers and statistics I was running were against currents being passed through the machine's matrix based on steady and monitored inputs. Effectively, how the machine received commands and responded to the thought patterns it was being exposed to in the form of electrical currents. All of a sudden, I was told to write a new program, this time one that could monitor outputs from the machine.
So?
Well, don't you see? They were telling me to create a process whereby we could measure the project's ability to think for itself. It's as if it suddenly had brainwaves. When I discussed the changes with Max, we realised that some form of creature was going to form a central part of the machine's processes.
What kind of creature?
Well, there's only two possibilities. One, a completely new life form created by the Institute, or...
Or?
Something alien.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
I know it sounds crazy, but we ran through every possible scenario. It's the only plausible explanation. It also explains the changes in security within the Institute. Last summer, for example, almost overnight, the place began crawling with armed guards. Certain areas were suddenly out of bounds, and no explanations.
Well, that's hardly proof.
Look, there are the printouts from the computer readings.
I've slide samples, DNA profiles.
How did you get these?
Keller is away with Professor Kettering. He's the only one with access to all the files. Everything's collected at the end of the day by the security goons and kept in a safe in Keller's office. However, I was able to smuggle in a camera. I knew what to take pictures of, just a few at a time, careful not to push my luck. You want evidence? I have plenty about the project. All the proof you need. Take it to any academic scientific department anywhere. They will confirm what we're saying.
Okay, suppose I believe you, so what? The Institute is working on an impressive technological project involving some kind of life form. Well, it may interest readers of some scientific journals, but very few of mine.
Oh, I told you we wouldn't listen.
I also get the feeling I'm not being told everything. For a start, why are you so afraid? Not for your job, surely. I mean, with your qualifications, you could go and work anywhere.
Oh, that's the reason we called you here. We believe the Institute is killing to protect its secrets.
Why do you think that?
The Institute is very careful about who it takes on. People are employed for weeks, sometimes just days, on constructing circuit boards or tooling machines to build specific components. They do the job and then their contract ends. Oh, they're well paid, but then they're gone. The only explanation is that only a few select people have the full picture of the whole project.
The same goes for junior members of the Scientific Development Department. Employment at the Keller Institute is less than 6 months. Then the contract ends for all but a small handful of key people, people like us.
I work in testing. I need to see the previous results to be able to report on progress.
I work in biomolecular chemistry. I created the amniotic fluid used as a central component of whatever is in that machine. We're too important to simply let go. And that's what scared us.
There are only about 25 people as significant in the process as us. Aside from Emil Keller himself and Professor Kettering, who leads the research department, of those 25, six have resigned from the Institute in the last 2 months.
So what?
They've all subsequently died.
Suspiciously?
Two heart attacks, two suicides, a car accident, and one during surgery.
Hardly suspicious. I mean, bad things do happen.
But statistically, it's already significant, and yet nothing appeared in the papers. The fact is that everyone who left the Institute through resignation in the last few months has died. Everyone. And yet no objection from the families. Coroner's investigation, police interest, or even a newspaper report. Nothing.
I see.
I started looking into the deaths. Both heart attacks were men in their late 30s and both kept themselves fit. One was even a marathon runner. Both the suicides were young, apparently content people who drove significant distances before actually killing themselves. The surgery death was during a routine procedure that it was as close as risk-free as it's possible to get.
And the car accident. The car accident occurred only last week on a quiet road in good weather. It was Magda, one of my research assistants. She's been at the Institute since before I joined. She was getting married. She was moving to Stockholm. She was so happy. One morning, she came in. She seemed distracted. Then, without a word, she left. I never saw her alive again. Her car was found in a river 130 kilometers away. She...
Tell him.
She'd left her car keys on her desk. Her only set.
You didn't tell the police?
What can we really say? We only have suspicions and no evidence beyond the circumstantial.
That's why we thought a journalist might...
Take an interest? Okay. Say, I believe you. I'll grant you that statistically the deaths seem, well, odd.
And the Keller Institute is the only thing that links them. I mean, it couldn't be more obvious, but nobody seems to have made the connection. Because each death in isolation is not suspicious. They also occurred each in a different government district. The police haven't linked them, and unless you're really looking directly at it, the pattern's... it's blurred, it's distorted. But statistically...
So what exactly do you want me to do? I mean, I can't take statistics to my editor.
I have this.
What exactly is this? Hmm?
The addresses of the families of those who died. They'll tell you everything you want to know about the deaths. Perhaps enough to interest the police and to get them to look into the cases again. If not, at least enough to raise the question in the minds of your readers. I also have this. Details on Keller himself.
Not a lot in here.
But isn't that significant? He must be one of the biggest philanthropists in Sweden, but there seems to be no record of him beyond a few years ago. The Keller Institute itself seems to have virtually popped up overnight. It was well-financed and employed local contractors, so presumably the support of the local government wasn't hard to come by. But I can't believe nobody asked questions.
Interesting.
And if these deaths are linked, Keller must know about it. Him or those funding him, whoever they are.
He's like a forest troll, hiding in the shadows and tempting passers-by to their deaths.
With well-paid research posts, hmm?
Read the files. It's all in there.
Okay, let's say there's some weight to this. I do a bit of digging and it actually leads somewhere. You know what you're doing. I mean, if this gets as far as publication or even official inquiry, I'll have to release your names. This sort of thing can't fly if I'm just quoting from an anonymous source.
Fine. We're staying here until this evening, and then we're driving to Oslo, and then a ferry to England. Max has friends in Oxford, so we can lie low there for a while.
How can I contact you?
I'll call you with a number when we get there.
Good.
Is this enough, do you think?
I think it's certainly enough to ask some questions of this Keller Institute of yours. Thank you for the opportunity and for trusting me.
So what happens now?
I have some people I can talk to, contacts in the police and central government. I'll also need to run the science by some friends I have in Stockholm who can confirm what you've said. I need to do this very carefully, but it won't be for the first time. It's what I do, after all. I'll keep you updated by telephone. If what you've said checks out, perhaps we can shed some sunlight on your Halmstad troll.
It'll be massive. Alien life forms, corporate conspiracy, murder.
And you'll make a lot of enemies. It may be that you'll never be trusted to work on a confidential or secret project ever again. Say goodbye to the lucrative private sector. They call people like you whistleblowers in England. It's a gentle euphemism for a corporate traitor. That sort of thing doesn't go away, you know.
We will get justice, though. For those who died. For Magda.
Possibly. But professionally...
We'll manage. Like you said, with all my qualifications, I can work anywhere.
I just wanted you to know, that's all.
It's okay. We've discussed it. It's the right thing to do. Otherwise, what is the point of anything?
What indeed. Well then... Until I hear from you.
Until then.
Goodbye, and strange to say, but good luck.
Goodbye, Edwin.
And good luck to you too.
May I help you, sir?
Telephone, please. It was as you suspected.
Both of them?
I'm afraid so.
A pity. They had good scientific minds. if they have evidence.
Copies of internal documents, photographs, even a file on you.
Dear me, I must have a word with our internal security.
I've got the documents.
All of them?
I got the impression they didn't have time to make copies. They just wanted to get out of there.
Once again, it seems that I was right to take you into my confidence.
What now?
I think it's time to test my little project.
What do you mean?
There can only be one penalty for treachery. They are still at the motel.
Yes, I... But what do you want me to do?
Nothing. It is all in hand.
What are you going to do?
It is already done.
But I...
You will ask no questions.
I will ask no questions.
Nothing suspicious has happened.
Nothing suspicious has happened.
Nothing to appear in the papers.
Nothing in the papers.
Good. You will destroy the files.
I will destroy the files.
Very good, Mr. Gunderson. Now return to your office and forget. Forget.
I will forget.
Goodbye, Mr. Gunderson.
Goodbye, Master.
Can we trust him, do you think?
Of course we can.
Will he do anything?
I guess we'll have to wait and see. Now, I make it about 410 kilometres to Oslo, according to this map. About 5 hours, if we don't stop.
We'll leave when it gets dark. There's a ferry at midnight. We make that, we'll be in England by Monday morning.
At least we can relax now.
I'll relax when I'm drinking warm, horrible beer, eating roast beef in a different bloody country.
Coffee?
I might try and get some sleep. Listen. What's that sound?
Radiator?
No, listen.
Yes, I can... Max, look!